Today we could do a little bit of a different topic, very much a different topic. And just to drop a background, about a week ago, someone who is an expert Menacher came here to town, and they spoke about a number of different issues, four particular issues, a good part of that, of the things that he came across or that he said, ended up being, came out of one-sided, dramatic and alarmist, and made people a little taken aback by what he had to say. So I'm here to just give you the other side, or try to show you a different side, or a more complete picture of what those topics were about. He is technically a Shaifer, but that's not his particular expertise is being a Menacher. Before I get into the actual topic, I have to say one thing particularly that bothered me, that I thought was inappropriate, that at a certain point in speaking, he said, you know, there are certain things that are, in his words, untouchable, and that Pleskin wouldn't ask for certain foods because too many people want to eat them, or whatever, which I thought was, okay, which was, like I'm calling it, which I thought was inappropriate. Inappropriate and not reflective of what place can really do, and if something is also, then it's also, and that's what it is. So,
agree to take a lot to us, you know.
But it's untouchable. You can never ask if it's also, it's also.
You
know,
it's sort of a relation that you can do it again and get involved in the government.
Yeah, therefore?
No, same thing. You know, just ask her. I mean, it's also.
Right? If it's usher, it's usher. So that doesn't mean that it might not be mutter, but if it's usher, you can't say it. They would never usher. No matter what, they would never make the food usher. Okay. So he talked about four topics. Okay, I'm going to tell you the two that we're not going to talk about. Where there was a beginning, was a discussion about, you know, whether food is, whether meat is glad or based. So he said what the difference between those are. He spoke about that briefly. We're not going to do that today. And he also spoke about at the end about whether the Masorah on birds. I don't know which birds are or not kosher. We're not going to talk about that either. But the two topics that he spent more time on that we're going to speak about are knowing whether milk and dairy products are kosher, meaning are there shadows of trephis in milk and dairy products, and in poultry and eggs. Those go together. Poultry and eggs, you know, chickens lay eggs. Okay, so the basis of everything we're going to talk about today is the following thing that you probably know, which is that if an animal is a trefa, if a cow is a trefa, that the milk that it makes that comes out of that cow is not kosher. And the same thing, if a chicken is a trefa, then the egg that comes out of it is not kosher also. Okay, you probably know that. But that's the basis of what everything we're going to talk about. Okay, so in when you eat the chicken, or you eat the cow, or you eat the beef, then that animal is checked for trefas. So the shayla, for the a lot of the discussion has to do with, well, what about the milk that I get, or the egg that I get, because no one checks those. Okay, those are eaten without anyone checking them to see if they're trefas before. Okay? Because you can't, right? Realistically, you can't. Okay, so let's...
We'll show up an X-ray.
No, most don't. No. So we're gonna start. We're gonna start with dairy, and we're gonna start with dairy, and there are two topics to talk about for dairy. Okay, and the first is like this. Something that we call DA cows. Okay, DA stands for displaced abomasum. Okay, so the first is what's an abomasum? Okay, it's the cava. It's a part of the stomach. A ruminant, someone who's maligera, has four parts of their stomach, and one is called the cava, the abomasum. Okay, and what happens is it's the pink part in the middle there.
Okay.
And what happens is that typically after the first time the cow gives birth, it could have this problem, which is that instead of the cava being where it's supposed to be, it gets bloated and filled with gas. This picture is not great. But the cave in this one on the left side, which is in the right place, is way down on the bottom, like it's supposed to have been. And in the wrong case, it got bloated and blown up a little bit to be blown up, and makes life miserable for the cow. It's not good for the cow.
How can you tell?
It has something to do with after birth. It causes bloating in the stomach. I don't know what the... I'm not a veterinarian.
Which part is the...
It's a cavity here. Maybe used to be.
Is that what it is? Okay. Okay, so if that's the reason, because it moves into that spot, because there's extra space inside.
On top now?
Right, and so for
that's the
thing. You don't have the picture.
I have two things for children that are
what would this is the, this is where the cave is supposed to be. This is where the cave is instead. It's blown up and it's in the wrong place. Right, it's in the wrong place. It's all messed up. Right, so the So it's not a new child. It's not a new child. So they've been, the police can speak about it. What the farmers do to deal with this is, basically, they poke a hole in the cava, release the gas, and everything goes back to the way it was supposed to be. Okay? So you realize as soon as I tell you that you poke a hole in the cow, that as soon as you start poking holes, you're risking making the animal tetrapha. Okay, because you make a hole in the wrong place, a hole in certain parts of the body makes the animal tetrapha. Okay? So this shaila in olden days it was talked about. And more recently, three different mahalchim were suggested to why it should be okay to eat it even though it has this problem. Okay, even though surgery. The surgery happens in the Erech, the way I understand it, the way it was said at the time, and which I hear is true, about 5% of the cows ended with this problem.
Okay. Surgery is a newer thing?
No, it's not new. It's new the way we do it nowadays. The modern versions of the surgery are new, but people have been doing it, like Bevan said, forever. You know, cows have been having this kind of problem forever, or whatever, and they've been doing this for a long time.
How can you tell
if
the cow has it?
How can I tell if the cow has it? If you're a farmer, then you know when your cow is unhappy. I don't know. Beats. I don't know. Okay. So some people said the cow never became a trefa. Okay? Which is to say, some of the surgeries that are done to them won't make the animal a trefa. Okay, well, then we don't worry about those. Okay? But other ones said like this.
Maybe because it could survive long term.
Because it doesn't make a hole in a spot that would render the cow to a trefa. Only holes in certain places make the animal to a trefa. Okay? Another said like this. If you open a Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that the holes in certain of these places are considered to be a trefa. But if you look back into the Gemara, really it's a machlokes in the Gemara. We're being machmir for a suffix derived from machmir. So there's a rule that the Rambam brings, that Shach brings, that there's a rule like this. If we have something that's a suffix trefus, and we're machmir on it because suffix derives from chomer, so we're machmir about the trefus, we're only machmir in so we can speak in a regular case. But if the animal lives for 12 months afterwards, if we see that the animal survives, we usually would not use that as a hechocha, that something is not a trefa. We don't use it nowadays anymore as a hechocha for whether the animal is a trefa. But if we have a suffix trefa, and then the animal lives for 12 months, then that tells us that it was never a trefa in the first place. So, it's Rambam in Sim Pezayin. Nunzaim. I'm reading my English wrong. Okay, Nunzaim. Okay, so then we can use the 12 months as the hechacha that it was the suffix trefus was not trefus in the first place. Okay, so over here where the hole is in a place, a karas afim is a place where it's only a suffix. If you open the Shulchan Aruch, it says a hole in that place makes it a trefa. Even a small hole makes it a trefa. But really, it's based on a suffix. And since it's based on a suffix, if it'll live for 12 months, then we could say that it's what? Okay. It's machlokes in Gemara. A bunch of sheets in the Gemara. And we're machmer on it because suffix drives the chumrah. We don't know. We who knows? So we're machmer. But we're only being machmer for that sheet. They're not saying that's the sheet. Okay. Now, the weakness with that argument. The weakness of that argument is that over here we do something in between. So the fact that it lives for 12 months, it didn't just live for 12 months. After they made the hole, it was then stitched up and treated medically, and that might take away from the 12 months as hechacha. The 12 months hechacha might be is it had the hole, and then as is, it just managed to live for 12 months. Oh, that must have not been a trait in the first place. But in a case like ours, where they have to make the hole, then we do things to help it survive for the 12 months, the 12 months might not be hechacha.
Maybe like a little child,
a what? A mum oibur? No, the question is, if it would have been left to its own devices,
right,
it might have been a
kicker. Can you take away the
kicker? Okay, so that's the next thing. Some people said that the animal tak is a trefa. You made a hole in the animal in the wrong place, and the animal tak is a trefa. That's fine. But then the hole heals itself up, okay? And therefore, it's not a problem. Because the trefa could be chazeres the hechsherei. Okay, the fact that there's a trefa at today, tomorrow, if the hole goes away, it's chazeres the hechsherei. It could become kosher again. Okay, that's a big machlokes rishonim whether that's true or not. Seemingly we're machmer on that child. Okay, there are cases when we're not, but when we're makel. But by and large, we're machmer that if an animal is a trefa today and tomorrow that problem goes away, the animal stays a trefa. So that's not so convincing. Okay. And the third is that, you know what? The animal's taka is a trefa. You're right. The animal's taka is a trefa. But only 5% of the cows have this problem. So if you, from every 1,000 gallons of milk, the amount of trefa milk that's in there is bought up a rife, and you could say called parish. And I say, assume the milk that I have, whichever one you want to call it, I assume the milk that I have, excuse me, comes from a kosher animal, so I don't have to worry about it. Okay, so these are three different angles on how to think why you shouldn't be worried about this problem that's called DA, or displaced adenosine problem. But the truth is, that it's a big mila for people who drink Chol V'Shol milk, or Chol V'Shol dairy products, because all the people that we know of that make Chol V'Shol, even if they think that in din there might be mutter, that the milk may actually be mutter, everyone who makes Chol V'Shol that we know of takes those cows out of the herd. Okay? Actually, in Chol V'Shol, it's a little bit worse in the sense that in the Chol V'Shol, you maybe see a bit of a chachilah when the man's standing there. So there's questions that I'm going to mention in a second. There's questions about that, whether it's appropriate or not. I'm going to sort of mention it, but to say bit the baroy, because you'd be somehow on bit the baroy. But the Chol V'Shol has the advantage that they're not being somehow on there, because when they make Chol V'Shol milk, there's a mashgiach there, and he goes and he says the companies have good records on exactly everything that happens to every cow, so they know which cows have surgery. You can actually. So when we talk about bittul, is if I just buy plain milk, I'm not at the farm. I have no way of knowing which cow had that surgery or not. But when you go to a milk company, they just come with a big tank full of milk. You're not at the farm. The Chol V'Shol people are back at the farm. They're seeing the cows. Okay, so they can firstly go look at the records. One time, Representative and I were at a place. They were trying to show us that you could actually see it on the cow. You could see a scar on the cows, maybe. But for sure you could see. There's records. They have computer records. And the Mashiach pulls out those cows. Okay, so it's an advantage of the Chol V'Shol products because, essentially, they don't have that problem.
Is there a difference in America versus other places in the world?
Is there a different? I think so. But they were talking about beforehand. Part of this problem is worse because of how they feed the animals. So other places that are more natural may have less of a problem. I don't know. You know.
If you could actually see the scar, so then you lost the product.
No. You didn't lose that. When I come to when the milk shows up in a big tanker at a factory to put it to bottles, at that point I can't tell anymore. When the mashgiach is sitting at the Chol V'Shol farm is one thing, but
if it's under hashgacha. So then I'm relying on, and they're doing it for the Jewish people.
So they don't. They that's a separate question. But they're not really doing it for Yidden. They're people who are making milk are just making plain old milk. And some of the Yidden are buying it also. So we assume that's not considered to be made for Yidden.
Special.
What? Right. See, when they come to the bottling part of it, when it comes to the cheese company,
so when we give milk, it's only the bottling.
We don't. Someone doesn't go to the farm in regular, not Chol V'Shol milk. No one goes to the farm.
Dairy gets milk from 100 farms. We don't set foot in the farm. We check us at the farm. So the only thing we can hashgach on is the bottling.
Yeah, with the bottling.
Right. So there actually was a situation. The situation that there was a cheese company that was having milk, their own little farm they were using from, and I believe their reverie said we should take the DA cows out. Okay? It was not a Chol V'Shol, but this company had their own little farm that they were supplying for their milking for cheese, and we said, no, we need to take it out. Okay? Because they were like right on hand. Okay, let's move on. Okay, now. Okay. Now, the other part of the question is, in general, Shiloh is about dairy cows, and let me transition from the other thing we're talking about to a part of it we're sort of not going to talk about, and that is like this: we're going to talk about one particular Shiloh about that dairy cows have. But before we talk about that Shiloh, there's a different question, and that is that I told you this question of the DA cows, maybe the cows are treif, and maybe it should be bought the baroif. But there's a bigger problem than DA cows, and that is, the reason why we check animals for treifas is because it's matzuri. Treifas is matzuri in a cow, in cows. So let's say that means that 10% of the cows are treifas, okay? At least, if we're going to be checking it for matzuri. So that means it's for every 100 gallons of, every 1,000 gallons of milk, 100 are treif, and 900 are kosher, okay? So there's a question that l'chayra, If you open up the Hilchos Taruvos, it shouldn't need bit the Baroiv, it should need bit the Bashishim in that case. And if it needs bit the Bashishim, it's bit the Bashishim, of course, is not bit the Bashishim. Because, let's say, if trefas are 10% of the animals, so for every 1,000 gallons have 100 gallons in it, it's not going to be bought the Bashishim. Okay, so statistically, if you have 1,000 cows, it's not Shayach, that you shouldn't have so much that it wouldn't be bought the Bashishim. This is a Shayach, and for this reason, there are some people who won't drink dairy products. That actually was not talked about. last weekend this year, and I'm not going to talk about it today. I spoke about it about 5 years ago, beginning of January, when we were learning Siman Pei Aleph. But that's not today. It's a Hilchos Teruvos Shaila to talk about that. We're going to talk about the other half of the Shaila, which actually I spoke about the week before here. And that is like this. And the Shaila is like this. We drink milk because we drink milk even though we don't know if the animals are treifa, because Roy behemoths are not treifas, any treifas. Most behemoths are not treifas. So if I go to a cow and I milk the cow, I can assume I got the milk from a cow that was not a treifa. Okay? And when you look at shechita of regular animals, in some shechita they have to get Roy of the behemoths are kosher. In most shechita they don't get Roy kosher. But it's mostly enough, and we say, okay, Chazal tells that Roy behemoths are kosher, and we say Roy behemoths are kosher. But the cows that are used for beef and the cows that are used for dairy are not the same. If you look in the pictures here, the big black cow in the bottom, that's an Angus cow. Okay, that's the kind that would be used for beef. For better beef, it's made from Angus cows. And on top left, the black and white one that you see when driving by the road, those are dairy cows. Okay, those are called Holstein cows. Okay, those are Holstein cows. And then the guy on the right, on the top right, the browner one, that's a Jersey cow. Okay, that they're promoting, the guys from Jersey, were promoting the Jersey cows. Okay, anyhow,
the dairy cows.
They're not used much, and most people make milk cows from the Holstein cows, the black and white ones. Okay, so he said, what? So the question was raised like the following: was when those cows one day they eventually shech those dairy cows, okay, when they're finished and it's time for them to become salamis, okay, so when the time is up, so they shech the cows and they find out that there's very, very few of them are kosher. The statistic that was given at the time was, he says that only 5% of them end up being a kosher. Which that's what he said. That was an exaggeration. We know that was an exaggeration. Okay. So the question was, if it's true that Roy of those behemoths are not kosher, so then how can we drink milk? How do we drink milk if those cows are not Roy of kosher? How can we drink milk?
Okay. So
I'm going to get to that. No, he was not for the first reason, not for the second reason.
He said the second also.
Okay, I'm gonna say it. Just be give me a minute. So before I tell you the reasons, I'm gonna say essentially three reasons why it's not a shaila. Well, why it's okay. But the first thing I have to tell you is that this is not a new question. Okay, we're not the first people in modern day to think of this. It's in the Simcha Chadasha and the Pichadash and the Mishkan Siakov. Shagas Aryeh, the Piskachuv and Darkachuv bring it, the Mishabur brings it. Why is it in the Mishabur? It's in the Hilchas Yom Tov. It's in the Gay, because you're not allowed to shech. You only let us shech the animals because you're assuming the animal's going to come out kosher. So it's a shayla, well, wait a second, if most animals are not going to be kosher, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to shech on Yom Tov. Okay, so lots of people have spoken about the shaylas. We're really not the first people to think about this.
They talk about dairy cows or just.
No, cows bechlal. I'm not Roy of kosher. They said, well, nice, you go to a shechita, and if you shech 10 cows, you only get 3 are kosher. So Roy of not kosher. So what are we doing drinking milk? Okay, they weren't talking in exactly. We're saying the Holstein cows are not our traits. Okay. So the thing is like this: the first places that have a similarity to them, and they're like this. When a shechet comes and shechs a cow and says this cow is a treifa, in almost every single case nowadays that we find an animal being a treifa is because it has sirch on the lung. Sirch on the lung means there's something stuck onto the lung, and if it's in the wrong way, then the animal's a treifa. Okay, it's called the sirch. Okay, so let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and Simi Pialf. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch says in Pialf like this. You have cheese that was made from an animal. You made cheese from milk, and then you shechted the animal. Okay, so he talks about cheese because the milk is not going to last. How long does milk last for? But cheese lasts for a long time. So you made cheese on Sunday, and then a week later or a few days later, you shechted the animal, and it turned out the animal was a treifa. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch, the dot, is because he has a bunch of different cases of what kind of treifa the animal could be, which is not relevant to us. But says in Nitrify the Sircha, that's the end of the din. What happens if the treifa that you found was a sircha? I mean, other ones it had extra body parts and all kinds of other kinds of treifas that were in there. But the problem was it was a treifa. Ain oisin ha'gvina shenasa mechalba. Then the cheese made with the milk from that cow was not treif. Mishun the havi svek sveka. The second topic, it has to do with how many days ago the trade happened. That's not relevant to us. The Rambam actually disagrees about that second part. But the first topic is that every sircha that we find in an animal is only a suffix of its trait. When a boydik looks at a cow and says, oh, this animal is trait because it has a sircha, that's not a definitive decision, this animal is trait. It's saying is, the animal is maybe trait. And since it's maybe trait, therefore we won't eat that animal. But really, it's only a suffix. Well, in this case, it's have a sekseka, but for our purposes, Chazal tell us that roi behemoths are kshevis, roi behemoths are not trafis. The fact that we're finding all kinds of things that we're throwing out is because we're being machmir on all kinds of sirchas, so we're being machmir about them. Okay?
Well, what's the suffix they say?
The sirch itself is not a hechacha.
Right.
Because we're not fucking if it's a real sircha. Which sirchas are the ones that are reflective of a hole inside of the lung is not, just because we see a sircha doesn't mean there's actually a hole underneath there. Well, there's going to be a hole underneath there.
This doesn't help with DA cows.
We're not talking about DA cows. No, we're talking about this. No, we're not talking about that. No, we're talking about this. Now, as an example of this, I was once...
We still need the same space.
No, we don't have to. I'm not talking about sfek. We have the Chazal tells right animals are kosher. We're seeing so many that we have to reject. The answer is we're rejecting them. Misafik, but that doesn't disprove what Chazal said. No, the shochet also about sfek for the cheese. It has a particular animals in front of us, and we say this guy. We see the sirach in front of us. Okay, so now I stood once at a shechita with Rabbi Tzvi Fishbein. Okay, and at this shechita they had Beishoyseth, glot and non-glot. Okay, they took animals even that were not glot to be considered kosher, and the boy that took a lung and he said he rejected it. No good. No good means not even non-glot. Finished. No good. This lung. So he passed it over. So Rabbi Fishbein took it and I was here to see what was going on. I don't know anything about this. So we wanted to build exactly those kind of lungs that were no good to see the circles on a lung that has no circle, nothing to see. So he pulls it over, he looks at the circle, and whatever he did for the sirchah, it's not so important for us right now. Whatever he did was, when he finished, he said, this lung was kosher. This animal actually is kosher. Okay, so the boydik had said, it's a sirchah, I won't accept it. And Rabbi Fishman said, you know what? If we would have sat on this for longer, and I'm telling you the animal was really kosher. I'm saying to you, just telling us a little bit about when we say a sirchah is kosher, even here within people nowadays could look at the sirchah that he said it was chafe, and really it would have been kosher. So that's our first way of looking at it, saying is, Roy Behemoth, the Gemara says Roy Behemoth are kosher. The fact that we find sirchas is not a chacha against it. Okay, now, second, how did Chazal know that Roy Behemoth aim in trefus? Okay, how did they know that piece of information? At the time, when the person spoke, he said it's from a Gemara. That said something from Karbonis. I don't know every Gemara, so maybe I'm missing something, but there is a Gemara about Roy Behemoth aim in trefus and Karbonis, but that's not what it's talking about. The Gemara is saying that since we know Roy Behemoth in the Kshiris, we could use Karbonas as a Chechocha that you follow Roif. Okay, that's how the Gemara goes over there. But how did Chazal know that Roy Behemoth are in the Kshiris? Okay, the Gemara's on Yudav. How do we know that? So, I don't think that's because Chazal went around and spoke to veterinarians. Okay, I don't think they went around and did a poll and figured out that most animals are Kshiris. You know what I mean? If we go find yaks in Tibet and we want to check them, we would say roiv yaks are kosher, so yaks are kosher. We would say roiv them are not trefus, so even though Chazal never did surveys on yaks. Okay, and the reason is lachayra, the way the Chazal know that roiv behemoths are in a trefus is because I told you already that living 12 months is a chacha that an animal is not trefus. We're going to see more in a second, but an animal that gives birth, okay, that becomes pregnant and gives birth, is also not a trefus. So when you look around in the street and you see cows, what are they doing? They're living many years, they're giving birth. Animals look like they're being healthy and they're making it. They look like they're not trefus. The simonim of a trefus would be that it doesn't live for a long time and not able to give birth. And the cows are doing that. So if you want to know if the yaks are trefus or not, you want to know if a cat is a trefus? You say, right, cats are not trefus.
You don't see the dead ones.
What do you mean you don't see the dead ones?
Like 10 cows,
maybe
1,000
are over there, dying. Okay, so we haven't heard yet of this ligation. You know, the bees are dying. We haven't heard anything about cows dying, just dying right and left.
Maybe you'll die.
I get you.
Maybe you know from the slop that it's a monster crusher. And that's not a
kosher. We know that. So that would be a very limited and very narrow, because I have to tell you that today it's kosher. What's going to happen tomorrow? How can you make such a rule? But what's going to happen? Like, tomorrow, like, people think that whole thing's not kosher. So it's more of a cholistic thing, is that People, the animals seem to live nice, healthy lives. They seem to be productive and doing what they're supposed to do. So they're not typhus. The Torah says you're writing cholam. It's built on an assumption of Rabbi Hamid Sinjik. So I'm saying that it's the hachachas are not based on being in a shlachta. The hachachas based on a bigger thing, bigger tevadika thing. Thank you, David. And the male lachar, those should apply here also. Now I'm going to come to a different angle of why it should be okay.
There was a point in history, not so long ago, where even in the shlach doesn't see that they were...
Right, but I'm saying... So we have to put this...
You wouldn't have to come on to your
but I'm saying is that Chazal didn't do based on a survey of shlachtos. That's not what they did. You couldn't make a rule like that if it's based on a survey today for what's going to happen tomorrow, or what's going to happen in a different place. My thought is like this. Okay, but this is what a milking cow's year looks like. Okay, I know January is not in the beginning. Okay, just bear with me. Okay, it becomes pregnant. For purposes of this illustration, becomes pregnant in July and gives birth in April. Okay? April 1st. What? You'll see why I'm doing this in a second. Give me a second. Okay? Yeah. So it gives birth in April. Okay? So what happens is, so the first few weeks they won't take milk from the cow, and then they take milk from the cow for another 9 months. Okay, they take milk all the way, in our cases, till the end of January. Okay, and then the cow is dried up. Okay, it stops giving milk. They stop it from giving milk for the last 2 months. And then it gives birth again on April 1st, and the cycle continues. Okay, so this is it's not always exact like this, but give or take, that's what it looks like.
Okay. So giving milk while it's
pregnant. Yes, yes. So, okay, now.
Right. You said January stops and then starts to get pregnant.
Right. No. It gives birth in April, but it's been pregnant since July.
Oh, so July to January.
It keeps on giving milk right now. So a dairy cow starts giving milk already in its second year after it gives birth for the first time. And it gives milk till it's about 6 or 7 years old. The etzem, it would live to like 20 years old, but it gives milk till it's like 6 or 7 years old, at which point it's not productive anymore, and then it's off to the slaughter factory. Okay? So that's it. So like this. So let's look at what happens here. Okay, on this screen, the calls are not going to come out soon. I'm sorry. Okay, in the first year, it gave birth. I told you it gives milk from May all the way to the end of January. Okay, that's it's giving milk. Now, come milk year three, and it gives birth on April 1st. I now have a hechacha that the milk that it gave in May and June of last year are kosher. My hechacha is that this is became green. It's hard to tell, but it became green. Okay. A chacha is an animal that can become pregnant and hold the baby to term and give birth to a healthy baby. That animal's not a trefa. So when it gives birth in the third year on May 1st, on April 1st, I now know that the milk from the beginning of last year, the first 2 months of milk from last year, that milk was kosher. I know it was not a trefa on July 1st. Yes, on July 1st. What happened on July 2nd? I don't know. But on July 1st, I know. Okay? And then gives milk for the rest of the year. And then next year, when it gives birth in the fourth year, it gives birth. I now have a kasha that again on July 1st of year three, the animal was kosher. That means it's all the milk until then was kosher. And if I keep on going, if I keep on going through its whole productive life, it turns out that I know that even in this case, where it only lasted for 6 years, and it didn't give birth in its last year, 64% of the milk I know is kosher. I don't have a suffix that milk was kosher. I know that milk was kosher because when it gave birth, when it became pregnant on July 1st of the year, the fifth year, to the point that it gave birth in the middle of the sixth year, in its sixth year, I know that all the milk from before that was kosher because it was not a trefa. On that day, I know it was not a trefa. Now, when we spoke about this 5 years ago, we talked about whether this chazak is based on this. There's a different angle of the shiloh. What could we say from that based on that? But what we know, for today we're saying is, what we know is the first bunch of years worth of milk was for sure kosher. We know, we can pick a day and say, on that day it was not a trefa. I know there was not a trefa on that day. So, the fact that even if today was a real trefa of the overall milk, roiv of the milk that's coming out of these cows is not trefa.
Well, what would be if we found like a trefa and it was milk that went back to whatever time? It gave birth, but if we found the trefa,
That's the Rashi. There's a famous Rashi about that. Okay, the Rashi said, they said they had an animal that was a trefa, and it lived for 12 months, and the Rashi told them they were lying. Okay, it's a big shout. What does that mean? People told me, is it Roy of Behemoth? Roy Japheth's die, or are these rules real or not real? Yeah. But in the big picture, overall, if all the cows are doing this, that we would say that overall, 64% of the milk is kosher.
And the eight cows can give birth?
The yay cows, of course they give birth. That's true. Of course the yay cows give birth. If they didn't give birth, they're dairy cows. Okay, they're dairy cows. If they don't give birth, then they don't have more milk. If they don't have more milk, they're worthless. So we have the same hachacha. The yay cows, we can say the same hachacha backwards. To say is, the fact that they gave birth the 3rd year, the 14th, the 5th year, is a riot that the surgery did not make them to trip. Potentially.
That's stronger than 12 months?
No.
The Shulchan Aruch and Kayal says we can rely on that.
Because
they fix it. You're right, maybe the fixing it makes it worse. Makes it better. Okay. Okay, this is a mathematical way of looking at what Rabbi Lange was saying before, which is true, which is the less mathematical way to say this is like this. When they find that the animals are treifas, when they shech them, the dairy cows, when they shech them, that's because at that point, this is a beat-up, worn-out cow that they've been literally milking for 7 years, and at this point, the cow is so worn out that the animals are treifa. That doesn't mean in year one he was a treifa, or year two he was a treifa, or three, all the earlier years, it's fakir that they only shech them when they're really beat up and there's nothing left to them. So the fact that those are treifas is not a hachacha that earlier. That's the simpler way to say it. That being a treif in years at the end of year 6 doesn't mean you were treif in year 2. But I'm saying to you, it's not just a maybe they were kosher. I'm saying to you, I know that they were kosher for so many of those years. Okay? Okay. If you have any questions before I move on to...
So they could argue that you have to take out those cows, the old cows, the only cows.
So that's a question. So you could argue that. It's a potential argument. If we had control of the farm, maybe you'd say that. I'm not convinced that this is accurate, in the sense that I don't know that they don't let them give birth in the 6th year also. Okay, this is assuming that they don't let them have them give birth. I don't know if they do. If they give birth, then even all the rest of this will be kosher also. We have a chachal bank, a whole more year's worth of it, you know? Right. Well, then we go to the first thing that we said, that it's only a sircha and roiv l'makosher.
Kosher 100 times.
Right. Okay, let's... Okay. Now we talk about... poultry and eggs. None of this he said. No.
So he wanted to claim the milk is better than treif?
Right, yes. When at a certain point people said to him, oh my gosh, it sounds so horrible, so could you drink milk? He says, I don't drink milk.
We're assuming okay. That 90% of the cows that are treifas, they
shuffle,
happened in the last year?
Or they're chumras. Or they're just being chumras. They're not treifas and din, they're treifas because they're chumras. It's very deep. It's very deep why they have white and brown eggs. I can explain to you if there's
such fat circles, like a 3-inch.
Okay. Part two. When he spoke about treifas in poultry, there's a few things we have to mention. First is, he mentioned that there are sometimes that they by a shechita, they'll find 80% is treif. 80% of the birds are treif. Okay? And he sort of...
Okay, at least he said in this case that they're throwing them out, not...
Right. Well, our question is, here are questions for the chicken and for the eggs. The eggs, no one's checking for treif. Okay, I'm going to get to that in a second, but yes. But he says, when he said that 80% are treif, it may have happened one day that there were 80% treif. And as he mentioned, some of these things come from diseases that spread within a farm. So when some are bad, the whole farm is horrible, and you have to throw out the whole farm, that could be 80%. But the overall percentage of treifas in chickens is almost nothing. Okay, we're talking like 1 or 2% of chickens are really treifas. Okay, and we're going to see in this, I'll show you how much they check for treifas. And in the end of the day, in the overall big picture, it's 1 or 2%. So you want to know if my eggs are kosher, do I have to worry that they made that? The eggs are coming from chickens that are treifas. The overall amount of treifas is tiny. Okay, it's a tiny amount. It's true that there's sometimes a horrible batch, and whatever they did that caused this batch to be horrible. But overall, chickens do not have treifas.
And even if it's horrible, still they're kosher.
Yeah, so I'm second.
If
he says it's 80% treif, he said I had a batch, it was 80% treif. So Ken's right. It has to do with sicknesses. So the Rambam says like this. Okay, the Rambam says, "Me'olam lo shamanu." He never heard, "B'mi shabadik oif elam nolibur chashash." Okay, no one ever heard of doing bedikas for treifas on birds, except if there's some kind of a problem. Okay, there was once a story that a truck delivering chickens turned over, and the chickens coming to shachtas all fell down. There was a shachtas. Should they have to check those chickens special? There's a special din of an animal that falls down. You have to check it. Okay. But the Rambam says, but other than that, except for the time that the truck turned over or something happened, you know, an animal attacked the chickens, you don't have to check them. Okay, that's that. The Rambam says, there's no one ever here of checking chickens for treifas. Okay, now, there's a true Rambam about that. Tura Moshe, who says that actually you should check the treifas, you should check chickens and treifas. He even said that you should spend money on it. It costs money, and it costs quite a lot of money because there's many, many boys checking for chickens in a chicken factory. We have to spend money in it, and we talked about it some time ago. It's in the new Sefer on Bugs, on chapter 30. If you're curious, if you want to hear the details about it, whether you have to actually check it or not. Okay, marketing. So yeah. I didn't put that onto the screen, but they do check the treifas, okay? But the overall amount of treifas is very long. Now, as a continuation of what we're talking about for the animals, this is what a chicken that lays eggs, it lays eggs for 60 weeks, okay? They start, okay, and that's not really how many eggs it's going to lay, but the era how many eggs it's going to lay, okay? Chickens, they start using them to lay eggs when they're 20 weeks old, and they lay for about 60 weeks till they're about 80 weeks old. Okay, that's what a chicken's career of laying eggs. The chickens they use are called white leghorns, and they lay eggs for 60 weeks. So I told you so far two rules. One is that if an animal lives for 12 months, sometimes that helps us to tell it's not a treifa. There's another rule that if it gives birth, it tells us it's not a treifa. And there's a similar rule for chickens, for birds, and that is if the chicken lives for long enough to develop an egg within itself, it takes 21 days to develop all the way from beginning to end, that animal, that chicken is also not a treifa. Okay, so what does that mean is, the calls came out good for this one. That means is that if the chicken lays eggs for 60 weeks, okay, if it's 60, it has 60 weeks of laying eggs, 57 weeks of those, I know that it was not a treifa, because the eggs that it laid in this week, the chicken lived for three whole weeks afterwards, right? Kept giving the eggs for 3 weeks afterwards. So in this case, the 95% of the eggs have a hechacha that they're not a treifa, which is, of course, very much consistent with the truth, which is that almost all chickens are not treifas. Okay, it's very rare that a chicken should be a treifa. And in fact, so if the shayla, the ikar shayla is not on the chicken, the shayla is really on the egg, because the egg no one's checking it. And on the egg, I have actual hechacha that 57 out of the 60 weeks, the chicken is actually not a treifa. Okay? So now...
So that farm of the 80%, were they laying eggs?
No, the chickens that what they call for eating are called broilers. Those don't lay eggs. I mean, I don't think they lay eggs, but they're not being raised to lay eggs. Actually, they shed them at like 6 weeks old. So before they're laying eggs, at least on the scale that we care about. Okay? So he mentioned three types of treifas that they check for chickens. I'm going to explain to you about those and some details with three others that he did not mention. Okay. The first is injections. And that is, for years, like 50 years, farmers have been giving injections into their chickens, okay, that we know, that we don't know of any anti-vax farmer chickens, but everybody gives injections. They may not give antibiotics, but I believe they all give injections to prevent diseases, And over here, on the screen here, you see two things. Okay, on the left side is the way it used to be done in America, and the way it's still done in Eretz Yisrael, which is when the chicken is a couple days old, they give the injection. Okay, the chicken, that picture actually is a chicken from Eretz Yisrael. In that case, this chicken, is 10 days old. Okay, in America, they used to give it at 1 day old. They give injections to the chickens. And in America, and it's coming to hopefully or potentially very soon, that they give the injection not into the chicken but into the egg. Okay, the injection is given to the egg before the egg hatches, a few days before it hatches, they give an injection to it. Okay, so there's a few parts of the shayla here. By no means am I going to give you the whole shayla. I'm just going to give you some of the highlights, and that is one is that Pesach can speak about comes from Chassam Sofer about trusting a guy that he did the injection properly. What I mean to say is, the person on the left side who's actually injecting the chicken, or even on the right side, they're injecting into the chicken, they have a certain idea of where they want the shot to go. And if the shot goes in a place that's good, that doesn't make the animal into a treifa, we're counting on him to actually carry it out the way he's supposed to. He's claiming that he's giving the shot in that way. This guy is trying to show us how he's giving the shot just right, that that chip doesn't become a trefa. Okay, so
what
that
trying to get it.
So in that case, they're trying to get it under the skin. In this picture, they're trying to get under the skin. They just want to get it in.
They don't want to puncture any organs.
They don't want to puncture any organs. Okay? And they're claiming, I'm doing it in a very specific way to specifically not hit anything like that. Okay, and the chicken over here, let's say they're claiming certain things, and there's sources to rely on that they're doing it carefully. The question is whether it's actually successful. Okay? Are they doing it or not? So you may know the Eretz Yisrael is in different communities. Each one does an injection in a different place. In one community, they do it into the leg, and one they do it into the chest, and one they do it into the back of the neck, and each one thinks that theirs is the only way to do it, and the other guys are wrong about how they do it. Okay, so that's an Eretz Yisrael, they actually do it to the chickens. And in the eggs, there are shaylos about what day to do it on. Should the hashgacha watch it, and what day are they allowed to do it, and this and that. It's quite a complicated issue. We'll move on. Okay. Next is something called bukadatma. Okay, bukadatma means is the bone. This, if you could see the end of that thing, you'd look, see how it's becoming a poker. So this bone that's poked out over here sticks into the socket, into the rest of the chicken. This is the bottom of the chicken. And if it pops out, if it's bukadatma, the shakri dukhte, it fell out of its place, then the animal, it's chicken. The animal's chicken. He's always chicken. The animal's a chicken. Okay, now, at the, when he's...
That's the thigh, right?
That's the thigh, yeah. Now, he claimed that the reason why this happens more often now... The reason why it happens more often nowadays is because of the way they collect them, which is the same when they go into the yard to collect the chickens, they grab the chickens by their feet, and when they grab them by their feet, the chickens are getting they're pulling the things out of their legs. Okay, but the truth is that nowadays they do not collect chickens by hand. Okay, no, they don't collect chickens by hand. In more modern farms, they have these really sophisticated machines that gently collect all the chickens, and all the chickens get a nice little ride, as you see in the video. Okay, and the chickens, you'll see in a second. This is a promotional video from a company. Okay, nobody touches the chickens. Okay, so they don't have to touch them. So this idea that the chickens, the bukadatma happens when the chickens get yanked out to be collected for shechita, is not accurate so much in nowadays. And I have to tell you something. Yeah.
How many machines are there? Has it pulled it onto the
it's not. No, they jump on. They jump on gently. They walk on gently. No, they just put it next to slide next to it. It jumps onto for the ride. Okay, and the you realize also before you go on. This would only be a shayla for chickens that go for... His idea that you could pull out the bukadatma because when you grab me for shechita, it's only chickens that go for shechita. Chickens that lay eggs never get pulled. They just sit there. They just sit there and lay eggs. They just... day after day. Okay? So they check for this in shechitas. Everybody checks it. If it happens, if the bukadatma gets pulled out when the animal's alive, it's bloody and gory and disgusting. So they pull it out, not just... They pull it out for trefas, but if you found it at home, you would know about it. Okay? It's pretty awful. Okay.
And is it possible that the kasher slatteis and don't have such sophisticated machines?
Of course it's possible.
Or these machines would be just delivering from the farm.
This is the farmer. But I mean, a shechita is connected to a farm. The shechita, they don't... it's not like you go to Sam's Club and just buy chickens.
So imagine that they're not sophisticated as
because
modern day...
There's no reason to think that. No reason to think that. Okay. The next thing is a thing called sumsegitin. Okay, a gid is the way Chazal refer to any kind of stringy, long thing that goes through your body. In this case, it's talking about a tendon, a ligament, which connects the bones, the muscles in the leg to the toes and the feet that should be able to move. So the tumas agid is where they come together, with their tsumas, where they converge, where they come together. So at the very bottom of the pulka, the pointy part of the pulka, that's the place of the tumas agid. And if those gidin are, any of those gidin are ripped, then the animal's a trefa. So in that, you see the top picture on the left, that's all these are the same piece of chicken. Okay, these are all the same pulka. Okay, and the one on the left is just without its skin, without it being touched. And the other ones are as it's being ripped apart. And you see in there, you can see the white, these are the gidin running through. All these white lines over here are those of the gidin coming through. And they all converge at the tip of the pulka. And they from there they run through down to where the toes are. Okay, to the last part of the leg to where the toes are. So if there's a cut or there's swelling or something in the very end at that spot where the tumas agid would be is, then the animal's tricked. So the checking is fine. This is how you check it. Just like this. First is, they slice it, make a slit in the bottom part of the leg. That means below the polka. Not where the tsukihiden is, but it's the part that you don't sell. It's not sold commercially. So they make a slice in that part of the leg, because over there, the same gidin are running, they can keep running through down to the toes. Okay, so they make a slice over there. Then the mashgiach will stick his finger underneath the gid, and if you see, it's hard, you don't have to see in the picture, but you see the toes are pulling up. Okay, that's because he's pulling on the gidin, which is exactly what's supposed to happen when the animal's alive. The gidin, the muscles pull the gidin to make the toes move. Okay, and actually some people, that's how they check, is by watching to see if the toes are moving. And then the last is, number three is, that they look at the gidin. See, are they intact? Now, they're not really looking at the right place. The right place is the tsumas gidin, which is a little higher, but they're getting a judgment as to whether they're complete by looking up here. If they're not taut, if the gid is not taut, or it's not whole, you'd be able to see it. Usually, you could see it on the bottom, even though you're looking, so to speak, in the wrong spot.
So even though it's chopped off from the polka, you can still...
No, it's attached. Oh, I'm sorry. This one, I don't know if you can see in the picture. It's still attached to the polka. They get this before they cut those pieces off. Right? No, I'm sorry. I should have been clear. They're doing this before they cut that yellow bottom toes off.
It's not a whole chicken, right?
Well, when they're actually... In this case, it's not a whole chicken. But in the shechita at the slaughterhouse, it is a whole chicken. The chicken is still whole. They haven't yet separated that piece off. The whole chicken is hanging there, and they stick your fingers in and pull on the things. That's right before they get chopped off. A minute later, they get chopped off, and they're not swift people. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Some people check everyone, and some people don't, and that's in chapter 29, as to whether you should have to check everyone, or you have to check everyone, which is like this. What the shaila is, the Rajba says, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have a shaila of an animal, whether it's a trefa, or if you have a vegetable that may have bugs in it, it's not enough to check even most of them. You have to check every single one. Okay? You have a herd of animals, and you have 50 animals, you can't check 45 of them and say the rest of them are kosher also. You have to check every single one. And our vegetables also, you can't check most of the lettuce, you have to check every piece of lettuce. Okay, you have to check every one.
Okay, except for the Rambam, we don't check words.
Right.
And Ramosha argues?
Ramosha says that when it's in front of you, that's a different Raj, but he argues based on that. There's another test.
When it cuts, I'll cut it.
That what?
Robert says you don't check anything, and I was checking every
single thing. Ramesh says, when it's in front of you, you're mechuyev to check it. Okay, based on a different part of the Rambam. When it's in front of you, you're mechuyev to check it. And in front of you, he says, means even that you have to put someone there to stand there to do the checking. So the reason to potentially be Samachan sampling, we talked about it over then, this is in Peidalet, we talked about it then, chapter 29, is that the being as, typically, you're only going to find problem with Tzumas HaGidin when there's an outbreak with some kind of a disease. So then you're really not testing whether the bird, you're sampling not to see if the birds have tumors that give them problem. You're sampling to find out if there was a disease that hit this farm. Okay? And that's the svara to be sampling. I'm going to show you, if we make it to the end, I'll speed up. We get to the end, you'll see that some people check everyone and some of them don't check everyone. Okay? Okay, next. Another set of traits is broken bones. Okay? There's a few bones that are broken. In one of the wing bones, if it's broken, makes the animal traitor. And two of the bones in the leg that are broken will make the animal to a trefa. Those are only problems if it happens, of course, when the animal's alive. It can't become a trefa after it's dead. So over here also, it was suggested, I think, that it has to do with, I don't know if you talked about this, this could happen during collection. It could also happen at a shechita when they can be rough with the birds. Like, think about it. Someone has to hold the bird for shechita. Okay, if that guy doesn't hold it gently, he could break a bone there also. After shechita, they could do it by also, they hang it onto hooks and things like that in ways that could break bones. All of those are shilas that could be potentially make it a trefa for a bird that you eat, and nothing to do with eggs. Again, nothing to do with eggs. Eggs don't have all those things happen to them. The chicken just sits there laying eggs.
You put a big emphasis on the way you breed them. You want to make them, either egg machines or chicken machines, mm-hmm. to the point that they're bred. Select the breed and the bred so much that they're weak in certain parts of their body.
Right. So that focus is more on birds that are going to be eaten. Okay. He talked about how they want to grow them in a certain way so they could quickly be sent for shechita and they should have meat in the right place and this and that. That has nothing to do with birds that are laying eggs. The birds that are laying eggs, there's no such need for them.
The birds that are eaten.
And the birds that are eaten, someone checks them. Someone does a check, so the bird, the chicken in your house, someone checked it to make sure it didn't have broken bones. Not say something can't slip by, but someone checked for that.
What about the leg bone, the white bone chicken also is made for eggs? Right?
Yeah.
I forgot what he said about the breeding of it.
Okay, he was at Masara about that. But those birds don't have the same, who cares whether the leghorn has more meat on this part of the animal lip, or if it's fat or skinny, the point is as long as it lays eggs, you know what I mean? So that's the, okay. Okay, we're moving along. Okay, I don't remember if you used the name.
The broken bones, they check them?
They do check, yes. Yes, people check for broken bones.
That's weird.
Yes. It's called Meckel's diverticulum. Okay? He mentioned this. And that is like this. A chicken has a very long set of kishkas. It's a bunch of feet long, a long stringy thing. And right in the middle of it is this little thing. In the picture over here, to me, it's exaggerated. They don't usually look that long. But there's this little piece that sticks out. Okay? Like an appendix. Okay? Like, think of it like there's a little piece sticking out. And what it is when the chicken is in the egg, that is the way that the yolk gets sucked into the intestines for the chicken to grow. Okay? That's the connection between the intestines. What?
Like an umbilical cord.
It's like an umbilical cord. It connects to the yolk and it sucks in the nutrition. The when the chicken hatches, there's still a little yolk left over, and that gets also, it keeps on eating from that yolk for the first couple of days until it eats regular food. That's what chickens are supposed to do. It seems, it's been claimed, that nowadays they feed the chickens right away and the chickens don't always absorb all the rest of that yolk, and it leads to this Meckel's diverticulum becoming infected. Okay, so if it would become infected, it potentially would make the animal into a trapher. It's not very common. It's not very common at all. Most people check every bird, every single one, to see if it has this problem. And there's different ways that they check it. Some people check it by squeezing it. Some people check it by looking at the color. What I mean is, if it looks plain, it's fine. What happens is that sometimes it'll be swollen or colorful in ways that look not so good, and then they'll decide whether it's kosher or treif based on, there's no early recursive. This is a new thing. This is something that people didn't see, or that we know 100 years ago. So there's different ways that people check this. Okay? Okay. There's another kind of treif, so I'm skipping that for now. Okay. So now, so I went to three different large American treifers. One of those shlitas has two different hashgachas that run a little bit differently from each other. So I'm going to show you now how they check. As I told you, in American shlitas, and of course there's Eretzol as well, but in American shlitas they check for all different types of treifers. The Rambam says no one used to check anything, but we have lots and lots of people checking for treifers. So like this, I call them shlita aleph, beis, and gimel. Okay, and shlita beis, it said it has two hashgachas in it. Okay, so about injections. Everybody has some kind of a rule. Whether the rule is exactly where everybody would want it to be, and whether they actually see that the rules are followed, that's not so clear. But everyone has some kind of an ideas about injections. Okay, in Buka Datma,
the idea is to make
the injections early enough that it won't hit the chicken. Okay, that's the goal, is to make the injection hit. It goes into the egg, to not hit the chicken inside the egg. Okay, or to hit it so infrequently that you don't have to be worried about it. Okay, that's the goal of what the day and hour you choose to do it. It's very significant what day and hour you do it on. Everyone has some kind of a rule. Whether they're actually making sure that happens is not always so clear. Okay, the Buka Datma, everyone checks. They have mashgichim standing there looking for the birds. Again, they're checking it for cautious reasons. It's a mashgich checking for it. But I have a feeling that they would check for it anyhow because it looks really awful, okay, when it pops out. Anyhow, checking for broken wings and bones. Also a check. And the Meckel's, the reticulum, everybody checks every single one. Okay? The difference is, in the other case, the Tumas HaGidin. So, as you see here, in the Shchita that we call Shchita Aleph, they just do a sampling. Shchita Beis and Gimel, they check every bird. And then the Shchita Beis, with the second Hashkacha, has this interesting idea. They say, we let you guys check first. Hashkacha, you check first. And if you guys don't find too many birds, that'll be our sampling. Then we'll be happy. We'll take them. If you didn't find too many, then we'll take it. So that's a really good question. Is that how do they know they're getting from the same lot? They don't check five chickens at a time. They check thousands of chickens at a time. That's a really good question, which we wondered about. But they say the morning is going to be the first hour of the day is the same thing for the second hour or whatever it is. However, the setup is you guys check first. You hashgacha aleph. You check first, and then if you're okay, if you don't have too many, then we'll take it. You'll be our sampler. And if we do have a lot, then we'll check everyone. Okay. What'd you say?
It costs less.
There's less people. To do the sampling at that shchita, if I remember, there were four mashgichim standing on the line to make sure there were no tumas hagidin. Okay, that's four people who stand. That's all they did was check for tumas hagidin. And the other guy has nobody. Doesn't have to put anybody on the line. Okay? In Shechita Aleph, they said if they have a problem with Tzumas and Gidin and they get stuck with it, they try to get rid of the chicken, if they get stuck with them, they have to go half the speed that they usually go. Because it takes them so much effort and so many people to do the checking, they go half the speed. So that's money. There's a lot of money going to check everyone. Okay, and then the last is the other thing that I didn't tell you about. There's other things. The first one basically checks everyone.
What's other?
Other is one I didn't tell you about. There's other kinds of things like lungs and liver and hearts and other the kurkavan, other things that they could be trafis in them. That the first shechita, they're boitgim check those things. They don't check. They poke. They just touch them. Okay, like I watched them as they checked. The kurkavan of a, I think it was a turkey actually. When they check the kurkavan, so they just feel it, and they pull that too. So they
feel the outside of the chicken.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a second what they do. No, they feel the outside of the kurkavan of the gizzard. What they do is in this is the boydig. If he has a shayla, he puts it on the side. He has to keep going because the chickens keep on coming. You can't stop to think what you're doing. So if there's a question, he puts it on the side. And then somebody else walks around and checks the things that are open on the side. So if you want to learn and see the shilas, the ones on the side have the best shilas then. Because thousands of chickens have no shilas. So he pulled off two kurkumans, and when you felt it, it felt harder than it was supposed to. They cut it open, and one had a screw inside of it, and one had a huge piece, like a piece of wood like this, like 2 inches long. Yeah. The chicken ate a big piece of wood. It got stuck in its kurkuman, okay? Whether it was a trefa is a question, but they threw it out. Sorry, it was a trefa. Anyhow, so in Shechita Aleph, they checked most, and the second one, I don't know what they did. And in Shechita Gimel, they just did a sample. At the beginning of the day, they checked a bunch of them, if they were good.
Don't remember means you don't remember.
I don't remember, yeah. Not that they don't remember what they do. No, I don't remember. I was focused to know what they did. Okay, so the conclusion. The conclusion is, in I'm done. The conclusion is, in the chickens you buy, someone's checking to make sure they're not chafers. Okay? Some do a little different than the others, but by and large, they're checking to make sure they have that chicken. By and large, they're checking, and the truth is, almost all 98% of the chickens are kosher anyhow. But they're checking, by and large, they're doing a check.
How many chickens are using overall get rejected?
Very little, maybe 1%. It's very rare. It's very rare that it happens. It happens, and sometimes it's a really big batch, but by and large, it's not happening. But in eggs that they're not checking, it's the regular thing. We call the parish. We know there are trafas out there. We know milk has trafas in, and eggs, the chicken have it, but you're allowed to buy it. We call the parish. You're safe. Okay. Some of the concerns here, I try to point out, are less serious when it comes to chickens that lay eggs. But we have a call the parish. Okay, we're good for it.